American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive, it's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Tuesday, June 28, 2005. It's handy that we're almost through the month of June into the month of July. You know it's always going to be fun once July hits, because that's when everybody gets the really good sunburns. But until then, stay out of the Daystar and listen to this show, because this is Newsreel. Your daily report is the walk counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. And if you don't think we're beating the core political tyranny, you're fooling yourself. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to said live journal by going to Sean, S-E-A-N, _Kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. You are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can do whatever you like to broadcast. You can put on shortwave, which I'd like to know if there's anybody out there with a shortwave license who wants to do that, because it'd be kind of cool to throw some stuff around on shortwave. Maybe we could set up repeaters and then go truly global with Newsreel, so that maybe we could actually, through pirate means, make Newsreel the most global daily news show in the world. Wouldn't that, in fact, be very, very handy? You know what I mean? Of course, it could be said it already is. I mean, how many other news shows do you know that are downloaded every day in countries all over the planet? I suppose the BBC, you know, and stuff like that. But when, you know, you're comparing Newsreel to stuff on the BBC, well, you know, that's pretty hot, you know, when you think about it. So let's, never mind the bollocks, let's get straight into some feedback. Hey, Sean, during June 16th show, while commenting on infiltrating the anorexia site, you stated that they probably aren't thinking right because they're starving to death. This is true. This is what I said. This is actually false. As long as they aren't starving themselves to the point that they begin breaking down muscle tissue and primary organs for fuel. Well, generally when you starve, that's what you do, but whatever. That's why so many misinformed people freak out when you tell them that they're going to fast for 2 weeks. I myself, for example, am still about 25, 30 pounds overweight. I could water fast for about 1.5 months before starvation actually occurs, which is not very safe. All this goes back to when we were first talking about my fast and I told you I felt like $1 million. You stated that for some reason your mind is also more focused. The breakdown of fat after all the glucose is expended turns into ketones. As long as you're not diabetic, this is safe, while the brain uses ketones for fuel instead. I'm trying to track down one of my old bookmarks. According to several studies, the burning of ketones is like high octane for your mind and body, and that's why you feel like $1 million. Now, I did not know this. You may have to look out for some of those skinny, warp-minded bitches that want to look like runaway models, but then they might have some brain power just before they reach emancipation and death. And that's from the Caps Locker. Well, that's cool. I'd like to know if there's a way that we could take, like, supplemental ketones to give my brain more fuel. Because, you know, after all, it's all about the gray matter for me. So if anybody has any information on ketones or how to generate ketones and the, how to generate ketones. Bleed, 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 bleed. I'd like to, you know what I'm saying here, though, is apparently it's some kind of fuel. It's like carbs for the brain. I'd like to get a bit more information on that. Moving right along. Dear Sean, I've been doing research all day about aspartame and have a theory. Monsanto makes NutraSweet, aspartame, and Viagra. Pfizer puts aspartame into Viagra. And now, just like what people are saying about NutraSweet because it turns into wood alcohol in your system, people are going blind. Isn't that interesting? I feel that has to be the answer, and I need no further proof to believe that aspartame is a neurotoxin. That's very true, because there's people who are going blind by taking Viagra, right? I mean, I'd covered that story a while ago, and since wood alcohol makes you blind, and they're putting aspartame into the Viagra, that would be why people are going blind. Thanks very much, Fish Edge. I never even thought of that. But that's why we've got the distributed flesh net of Newsreel. Dear Sean, on Wednesday, June 22nd, you did a story about booster bags, the tinfoil-lined shopping bags that defeat anti-theft door sensors at stores. These things are nothing new, but still interesting if you've never heard of them. I would like to give you a huge word of warning to anyone considering using one of these to steal stuff. U.S. shoplifting laws vary from state to state. I can't remember the number exactly, but these will give you a good idea. Stealing something under $500 will have you committed, if you steal something under $500 and you have committed a misdemeanor. Steal something over $500 and you could face a felony. Using a device created specifically for shoplifting like a booster bag or custom hidden coat pockets is considered burglary, which is a felony. Regardless of how much you took, have fun ever getting a job once you required, have fun ever getting a job again when you are required to list any felonies you've been convicted of. Burglary looks very bad on job applications. Hope this email keeps some kids out of trouble, and that's from Kizzle. Well, absolutely, Kizzle. Nobody here at all in any of the Rant universe in any way endorses stealing. I mean, my God, that would be a crime. We don't do that here. Stealing is a little bit different from sharing. The booster bag concept, I figured, is kind of handy just because if you wanted your AWOL bag to avoid, you know, being RFID scanned, or perhaps if there's RFID tags inside of your clothing that you don't know about and you haven't had a chance to nuke your clothing yet, or perhaps it's polyester that you can't microwave, and you don't want anybody just scanning your equipment to figure out what you got in your bag, this is why we covered the booster bags. It's got nothing to do with theft. People who steal are bad. We know this. This has been taught to us. Hi, Sean. I was trying to think of ways your listeners to send, trying to think of a way for your listeners to send sensitive information to you without having to worry about government computer programs snooping on them. I've illustrated one possible message and attached a GIF image. It's a bit ghetto, and it might seem a bit goofy, but it'll definitely work unless any of the parties involved are under investigation in any way. In which case, all messages would be routinely read by a human agent, and the content of the message would be instantly compromised. What do you think? Take care, Dark Nature. Now, what he did was, he wrote me a note, like actually in handwriting, on a piece of paper, scanned it, and then attached it to the email as a GIF. So in order to actually get that, with handwriting and everything, I mean, it's handwriting, so if you're a human, you can read it, but it can only be human read. It can't be machine read. And I thought that Dark Nature's idea is actually pretty damn good. I mean, that's pretty smart when you think about it. That's a really good way to transfer some information. Now, granted, once again, if there's a cop sitting there reading stuff, then you're pretty much done, you know what I mean? But at that same level, if the government decides they're going to do surveillance on your email, you're pretty much bitched anyway. You cut it. Let's get into the news in illegal music news. You ready for this one? This one got sent to me by Sabo as he was hiding somewhere in the Celtic regions. 1 in 3 CDs sold worldwide is an illegal copy, a conference in Madrid has heard. So they're claiming that 1 in 3 CDs sold in the world is illegal. It's an illegal copy of music. The International Federation of Phonographic Industries, the IFPI, said music piracy was helping fund organized crime. That's right, it's not the heroin, it's not the sex, it's Britney fucking Spears. It asked governments to cooperate with the music industry to wipe out the global illegal music market worth an estimated $4.6 billion, but they have no way to actually back up those figures. Brazil, China, and India were named the worst offenders for music piracy. Well, it seems to me that Brazil and India aren't really so big on the cash front. So, you know, if the people in Brazil and China and India, China's got a massive deficit in freedom. India's got no money. In Brazil, well, they're just trying to make a go of it themselves. The way I see it, fuck it. Let me have free music. What the hell? You know, the first world does so many bad things to these countries. Maybe we should do something nice for them for a change. We need a comprehensive government offensive. We need a more concerted effort, said the IFPI chairman, John Kennedy. Why are all these fucking Kennedys so goddamn militant? That's what I want to know. What the hell's wrong with this guy? We need a comprehensive government offensive. We need a more concerted effort. Fuck, we need to declare war on music piracy. That's what we need. War. We need more war. War, war, war. The IFPI, which represents a global recording industry, good God, named and shamed the top 10 worst countries for the sale of illegal music, with Indonesia, Mexico, and Spain also included. Dun, dun, dun. Shame on you, Indonesia. Shame, shame, shame. Shame that you're stealing music, even though your whole fucking country has been completely decimated by, you know, natural disaster. We're going to shit all over you for illegal music. It estimated that the illegal music market in 2004 had increased in value by $100 million. since 2003. Where the fuck are they getting these numbers? Nobody's got any idea. What, they picked that out of their ass? $100 million more got stolen. You don't know. You don't know. It's piracy. Okay, they're copying. They're not stealing anything. There's nothing they can catalog. Where the fuck are they getting these numbers? A total of 1.2 billion pirate CDs were sold in 2004, which represents 34% of the total sold. Again, how do you know this? What, you think that people selling pirate CDs are like all, you know, submitting registries and shit like that? They got no way of knowing how many pirate CDs were sold. Not a fucking clue. And furthermore, they have no idea how many, like, they don't know what percentage of total pirate CDs. So, like, give me a fucking break. This is complete. They're lying. This is a lie. This is a total lie. But the IFPI said the growth in the underground market has slowed to its, has, they said, okay, here we go again. The IFPI said the growth in the underground market had slowed to its lowest level in 5 years. Again, how do you know that? The Chinese music market has the worst reputation for illegal music, with Mr. Kenji suggesting that 85% of all music sold there was on the black market. Okay, so, again, Mr. Kennedy, I have no idea. I'm not related to this guy. I don't know where he's from, but I'm not related to this dude. But, I mean, man, your facts and figures are so fucked. I mean, I guarantee you, the guy gets paid a paycheck, right? Like, he's not actually about honesty, integrity. He's about the money, right? That's what he's up here for. I'm doing this because, well, I believe in it and stuff like that. And this guy here, well, you know, he's just citing facts and figures because that's how he gets paid. So nothing personal, but he's lying. Now, moving on to Where's News, also from Sabo, who was just a little sending Celtic machine over there. Campaigns to persuade people to stop downloading pirated games or software from the internet are not working, a report suggests. Well, we'll just file this into the no shit category. Two UK university researchers found that people did not see downloading pirated material as theft. Okay, democratic society, let's vote on it. Do you see downloading pirated material as theft when it can't be theft because you haven't taken anything? The findings are on Welcome News for the games industry, which says it's lost more than $2 billion annually from piracy. Again, there's no way for them to know. The results of the government-funded study were previewed at Games Conference in London. The report, called Fake Nation, is due to be formally presented next week by Dr. Joe Bryce of the University of Central Lancaster and Dr. Jason Rutter of the University of Manchester. The study was commissioned to find out if the anti-piracy message was having an impact on people's attitudes, which, of course, it's not because nobody gives a fuck. Most campaigns in the UK have focused on the damage being done by the software or film piracy. Yes, the hideous damage, the seething, the great craters in the city caused by software and film piracy. My God, how will these superstars make it with all this film and software piracy? Holy Jesus. Most campaigns in the UK have focused on the damage being done by software or film piracy, the hideous scorched earth damage, the homeless children, the mutilated bodies everywhere, hung fucking corpses from lampposts due to software and film piracy. They have also pushed the idea that consumers are supporting organized crime. Oh, you know, that's the every. This is two totally separate, you know, news sources. And they're all like, oh yeah, yeah, it's organized crime. You're supporting terrorism. Despite the ads in the cinema, magazines, and newspapers, the message is falling on deaf ears because nobody fucking believes you. They can't believe you, dude. It's just not going to happen. And speaking of belief, let's get into some really good Mud Hut religion news over here by Kumiriko. Kumiriko? Kumiriko. Now, this one here is going to piss you off. When activists for gay and lesbian causes gather outside a church near Seattle this weekend, they will have many critical things to say about how conservative Christian institutions have treated them. Inside North Shore Baptist Church, where Focus on the Family... Now, I'm going to stop it right there. Focus on the Family was one of these groups that I have long had a hate on for. Now, me personally, some people say that I hold a grudge. Maybe it's because my name is Kennedy. Maybe it's because I've got good Irish blood in my veins. And because of this, or maybe it's got nothing to do with the Irish blood. Maybe it's that whole Celtic region. Because, you know, people from the Celtic lands, ask anyone who's listening from the Celtic regions, they have a very long memory. Now, this is both good and bad. It's good because we remember stuff a long time. It's bad because, well, we have a tendency to hold a grudge. Which is true. I mean, you can say what you like about who's right. But that whole, you know, UK, Gattaca, Celtic, Wales, all that area. Okay. That whole region, Scotland, Ireland, all that good stuff, those people hold a grudge. They do. They totally hold a grudge. And that's kind of a flaw, because we need to get past the whole grudge-holding thing, because there's more important things out there than just, you know, getting angry and holding on to it. But that all said, Focus on the Family was burning books when I was playing D&D, and they tried really hard to make my life very shitty when I was just a teenager. Therefore, I fucking hate Focus on the Family because they're a scumbag organization designed to manipulate Christians into buying their shit. They're there to make money, and they exploit people who are Christians. Now, against Christians, I will not rally against Christians because, you know what, they're really not bad people. I rally against organizations that try to manipulate Christians through their faith into being book-burning bigots, which is what Focus on the Family is. Now, let's get back to the story here. When inside a North Shore Baptist church where Focus on the Family, Nazis, will be preaching that homosexuality can be healed by the power of God's love. Christian counselors will be making much the same point. So if you're gay, you're actually sick. Sorry to tell you this, but you're actually sick, and we need to heal you with God's undying love. Even though God said that you should be put to death without fail, he actually loves you, even though, you know, you should be killed, according to Leviticus. In addition to, quote, the powerful stories of ex-gay men and women. They're ex-gay. How can you be ex-gay? If this is a genetic thing that's, like, you know, kind of all part of your genes and stuff, and you're, like, genetically predisposed to be gay, then how can you be ex-gay? Or people in denial, people attending Love One Out. That's what they're calling it, Love One Out. You know, if anyone's involved with the gay community, please make sure you use Love One Out as a pro-gay thing, because I'd love to, for them to get angry about that. The people attending the Love One Out conference will hear a challenge to the church, said Dr. Bill Meyer, a child and family psychologist, who is one of the event's main speakers. Another is Reverend Nancy Himmler, Nazi Himmler, the mother of Anne Himmler, the actress. Oh, sorry. Another is Reverend Nancy Heich, the mother of Anne. How the fuck do you say that? H-E-C-H-E. Hecky? Heech? Heech? Well, we're going to say Heech. Reverend Nancy Heech, mother of Anne Heech, the actress who famously married a man after living a widely publicized lesbian life with comedian Ellen DeGeneres. So, this... how much do you want to bet that this Nancy Heech is with such a shitty mom that Anne Heech just rebelled so hard against her, and now the mom is capitalizing on her daughter's love life, you piece of shit! Leaders of Love One Out are very forthright in stating that the church has often fallen short when it comes to the homosexual community. Well, what do you mean it's fallen short? You haven't put them all in camps yet and started killing them? Mayor, vice president, and resident psychologist of Focus on the Family said in an interview, which he didn't actually say anything in an interview. He's just hinted at shit, which is making noise. To be sure, Focus on the Family, Colorado Springs-based ministry run by James Dobson, who's a piece of shit. Perhaps the most evangelical figure in the nation today. Would agree that with the detractors of Love One Out about very little else. The one-day event, which is held a handful of times per year, ministers, psychologists, and counselors who say they have left homosexuality behind them and make a case for reparative therapy. The hypothesis that homosexuality is not innate and can be repaired or healed because there's something fucking wrong with you because you're gay. You're gay, so therefore you're sick and weird and deranged and fucked up, even though, you know, if you go back throughout all of history and look at all the amazing people who've done fantastic art throughout all of history, music, sculpture, pick a fucking field. And you will find that a lot of the leaders in those fields are gay. But obviously, they're also fucking insane. You know, there's got to be something fundamentally wrong with these assholes because they love people rather than kill them. What the hell? Now, here is a trend that I've seen. This is like the fourth story I've reported on this in this particular field. And this is some scary shit. And this is going to be another one of those Sean words that I'm going to create right now in the lexicon. I don't know if anybody else has coined this yet, and I really don't care. But it's called pheromone marketing. Now, pheromone marketing is where they're putting pheromones and they're doing research on pheromones, which is a mild hormone drug. Remember the other day I was talking about how people were playing this weird game in a science lab where they were saying, okay, well, what we'll do is we're going to make you smell this pheromone And when you smell this pheromone, you will trust me a lot better. You know what I mean? And then we'll play this game where you try to give me your money, and we dope you up with these pheromones, and then you give me the money because you trust me more, because we're using pheromone marketing on you. Now, there's no laws against this. Okay, there's nothing on the books that says that, you know, Nike and everyone, you walk into a store, and you get hit with a ton of subliminals. Okay, well, they just swamp you with hormones and subliminals and whatever, and you're so doped out and drugged out that you take out your card, buy everything in the store, and leave, and 30 minutes later, you're going, what the fuck just happened to me? Now, this got sent to me by Wyandi, so check this out. The best place to sell magazines could be in the gym locker room, according to a study which found that pheromones and male sweat makes men opt for a manly read. Whatever the hell a manly read is, I have no idea. Men under the influence of androstenol. Okay, under the influence of androstenol, a pheromone found in men's underarm sweat, and find men's lifestyle magazines to be more attractive and are more likely to purchase them than those not exposed to the pheromone, suggests the research. So, what if, you know what would be interesting to me is if instead of putting men's lifestyle magazines in there, would you know, like Gay Monthly or something like that, would that be a men's lifestyle magazine? You know, if it was like a gay man's magazine, would you put that in there? And would that androstenol also make gay being more susceptible, since it's a sickness after all? That's what they're saying, right? We could just talk people into it. You know, I know you think sucking dick's a bad idea right now, but I'll just talk you into this, and with enough hormones, you'll go for it. You know, pardon me while I call bullshit. Michael, actually, you know what? The really sick thing is you probably could. That's the really bad part, is just to be a footnote. I do know enough about brain chemistry and psychology to know that if they super saturated your mind with all sorts of shit, yeah, they can make you do whatever they want. But the problem is that when that saturation wears off, you are going to be left with some pretty interesting damage done by your actions that you won't understand, and you're going to have to try to put yourself back together again. And let me tell you, that's a bit of a motherfucker to do, okay? Having a complete mental breakdown is not nice. It is not a friendly thing, and it is not a cakewalk. And a lot, and I mean a lot, of people kill themselves when it happens. It's hard to survive. I've gone through it not once, not twice, but I've gone through it, okay? So I'm here to tell you, you want to make sure that before you allow yourself to be manipulated by all these different pheromone marketing and shit like that, that you get a really good grip on who you are as a person. And, of course, with the dissolution of the family unit, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, I'm going way off topic, way off topic. Let's get back to Michael Kirk-Smith from the University of Ulster, UK, and Klaus Ebster from the University of Vienna, Austria, who showed 120 student volunteers, three magazines, the female lifestyle magazine Allure, the neutrally pitched National Geographic, and the male lifestyle magazine's Men's Health. Now, I put it to you that no matter who the fuck you are, if you're a wog, you're reading National Geographic, which, incidentally, I have to subscribe to, and you should too. The students were split into two groups with equal numbers of men and women. The first group wore a mask sprayed with androstenol, and the second wore a mask permeated with control solvent. With a control solvent? The concentrations of the solvents in the masks were low enough to have an imperceptible odor to the wearers. The two groups were asked to rate the magazines according to how masculine they found each and how appealing and how likely they were to purchase them. Well, obviously, how masculine. The men's magazine is the only one that's going to get rated there. The male participants exposed to androstenol rated Men's Health significantly more masculine and more appealing compared to with the control group. They also had a higher tendency to report that they might buy the magazine. Women appeared to be completely unaffected by the pheromones. So once again, it doesn't matter unless you're trying to sell stuff to men. If you start smelling sweat and you're in a store, danger, 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 danger. Now, that's a disturbing trend. This use of pheromones in marketing is a very disturbing trend. And I'd like to, you know, so all you flying monkeys out there, make sure you keep an eye open for this shit. Because this is really, really frightening to me. I'm very concerned about the future of this and where it could go. Now, let's get into Media Cop News, also from Wyandi. The Australian music industry's newly appointed chief piracy investigator has warned internet service providers that the current Swifttail case in Australia will herald a new regime of responsibility for copyright breaches. Well, I guess once again, the Australians are cracking down. In his first interview since assuming the role, Michael Caron, previously a Qantas investigator, said the prosecution of the Perth ISP for alleged online copyright infringements would send a clear signal to ISPs and file sharing providers of the music industry's intentions. And their intentions are, of course, to hunt you down and kill you in your sleep. That's their intentions. Curran replaces Michael Speck, who left the piracy watchdog for his ongoing involvement on the Kazaa case. So this is the guy who was, like, sending spies around. I mean, in Australia, man, they really don't fuck around down there. They're really, you know, it's pretty much Gestapo when it seems to be... Everyone's going that way, Gestapo, when it comes to the internet, which is really, really scary to me. Like Speck, the majority, 16 years, of Karen's career has been spent in the NSW police, where he's worked in a range of areas such as electronic enforcement and counterterrorism. For the last 2 years, he conducted an internal and external theft and fraud investigations at Qantas. Since joining the music industry's piracy investigations unit, why in the fuck does a private corporation have a piracy investigation unit in a publicly funded police force? Nobody wants to ask that question, but I guess it's probably, you know, important. Karen said he was meeting journalists, musicians, and others to fully form his views on digital piracy. Well, you know, this cop, this Aussie cop, I'm sure he's going to be real open-minded about piracy when he's already said in a previous statement that it's a new era. Everything's going to be going. We're sending a solid message. But I still haven't made up my mind. You know, whatever, pal. Give me a break. You're an enforcer. You're a fucking thug. However, he was adamant that MIPI would force Australian ISPs to implement takedown regimes for online copyright breaches and act on them. It will be interesting to see the attitude of ISPs to the result of the Swiftel case. The ISP industry has in the past been reluctant to take legal responsibility for all traffic carried on its networks. It's not fucking, they're just providing the wires, dude. It's the people. MIPI claims that about 50 ISPs around Australia shut down overnight the day the legal action was launched. I suppose some industry associations may feel the law is gray, Karen said. However, the Swiftel case will allow us to put that into perspective. If they're going to be reckless with the law, they will be targeted. Targeted! They're not going to be arrested. They're not going to be talked to. They're not going to be warned. They're not going to be counseled. They'll be fucking targeted. Because that's what the Gestapo does. They target people. I love this shit. Especially when you get all these, you know, wonderfully, you know, the music industry is trying not to say, no, we're not bad. We're prosecuting criminals who are hurting people. Nobody's hurting anybody. Do a fucking vote, you lying sacks of shit. Do a vote right now. Do a vote right now. See whether or not we think piracy is even a fucking crime. But no, you won't hear that. No. Now, in Freedom Fighter news, and this is from Edward. This is a really cool story. You want to talk about the future of what's going to happen to us? Let's check out countries like Nepal. Banned from broadcasting news since February's royal coup, Nepali radio reporters have found a new way to get their bulletins out. And I hope I don't have to go this far, but they're using loudspeakers. Every evening, about 300 people gather on a roadside in Bertangnagar, about 500 kilometers east of Kathmandu, to listen to the Kershaw Batari read out the news from an open-air studio on the roof of a narrow three-story building. The guy's blowing it out on loudspeakers. As well as spreading the news, the service stands for free media. Bahati tells his audience, a motley collection of politicians, teachers, students, and traders, and anyone who just happens to be passing by. Nepal's dozens of independent FM stations, widely popular as the only alternative to the air's state radios, state and vetted bulletins. Oh, state and vetted, meaning censorship. So it's totally, anything that's not state-controlled media is always private. We're banned, so all the private guys were banned from broadcasting when King Gonorrhea fired the government and imposed strict censorship on February 1. I don't know what his actual name is, but it looks a lot like gonorrhea, so that's what I'm going to call him. Some restrictions have been eased, but FM stations that have reached most of its 26 million people in an impoverished nation where a third of the district's capitals don't have a road link to the outside world. Now, this 26 million people, okay? That's a lot of people in a country to be being persecuted. But still, they cannot broadcast even censored news. So there's no broadcasting going on in Nepal. For Nepalese Star for the News, the 15-minute roadside bulletins offer everything from news about the scarcity of fish in the market to the country's Maoist rebellion and its political crisis to the troubles in Iraq. Now, you got to understand that rather than just shutting it off, what if they were to, say, super saturate their news with news that wasn't news? What if Nepal, rather than doing this, if the king pulled his head out of his ass and decided, hey, what I'll do is I'll just do what America did. I'll just go and super saturate the news with so much crap that nobody knows anything, and that way I get to control the disinformation. See, he's just not thinking. It's like a normal radio news bulletin when listeners get information about major national and international events, said Shiva Bhattarkarki of the Federation of Nepalese Journalists, which organizes the Streetside broadcast. We will continue until full press freedom is restored. We will not give up. Well, chances are, though, and I hate to be a downer on this guy, but chances are this guy is going to wind up getting shot. Because that's what happens to people who talk about freedom and keep talking about freedom, is that they get shot. It's unfortunate, but it happens. And it's not my fault. You know, it's not my fault. I'd rather these people not get shot. But generally, the people with the money control the people with the guns, and the people with the guns decide who gets shot. So it's unfortunate, but hey, hopefully those people in Nepal, if you got anyone in Nepal, you know anyone to help, any way to help anyone in Nepal, I would love to help those guys out, because it sounds like they are in a serious heart of darkness over there. Now, a while back, I was talking about this robot they were talking to putting into a school. Well, I got an update on that program in Robotic Takeover News, sent to me by Thunderspud, on that same robot. Ruby, a teacher's assistant at the Early Childhood Education Center in San Diego, has eyes sometimes in the back of her head, along with antennas and a couple of microprocessors. The robot is part of an experiment at the University of California, San Diego, to study how robots and humans interact. Ruby is capable of tracking heads, detecting faces, and interpreting basic expressions. Additionally, it can teach songs and, through a touchscreen, conjure up interactive games. The robot is also animated with Bayesian. It's like Asian with Bay and an E instead of the A. So Bayesian, I guess, is what it is. Artificial intelligence. So whatever Bayesian artificial intelligence is, meaning that it compiles data on past experiences and changes its behavior to try to achieve certain outcomes. So it's kind of like sort of learns, I guess. In other words, if the kids forget there's a second verse to Itsy Bitsy Spider, the system will prompt Ruby to prompt them. Now, I draw to your attention the visual of a robot teaching a group of children Itsy Bitsy Spider. Now, you would have to really work on the lighting and the music to not make that creepy, because that is the creepiest visual I think I could conjure in quite a while, is some robot being like, the Itsy Bitsy Spider. No, that's creepy. I'm sorry. Too creepy. Please destroy the robot. I mean, there's a certain point where, you know, where do you suppose this technology is going to go? Well, obviously, they're going to be replacing teachers' assistants, and they're going to be replacing more and more people with robots, and therefore the need for more and more people will fall by the wayside, and more people will be left out to die. This is inevitable, and this is one of the reasons why I'm always telling people, hey, maybe you should learn about robots. Now, every now and again, I come across a news story that really makes me go, whoa, why isn't this on CNN? And this is one of those stories, I don't know if you knew about this, this was sent to me by Comerico again, and I'm calling it Cracked Earth News. It appears, now check this out, a massive crack in the earth opened up last week in Claude, Texas, and it's creating a stir among geologists, because, yeah, you know, they get a little excited when there's large cracks and fissures start appearing on the fucking planet. Geologists said Tuesday the crack was a joint in the Earth's crust. They believe the opening is the result of a weak point in the joint where one spot slips away from the other. So it's like the Earth's crust is separating there. Some parts measure more than 30 feet deep, and it drained what used to be a pond. Experts say Earth cracks are common, but the size of the crack in Claude is not. And that is all it says. That is the entire article I got there. That's a little bit tripped out. Now, why isn't this in larger news? You'd think that when the earth is cracking open in Texas, people should probably pay attention. But no. Why in the world would we pay attention to something like that? That would just be absolutely ridiculous to even draw attention to that. I mean, obviously, just because there's a big crack there doesn't mean anything, does it? I mean, really. Now, let's get into some core political piracy news. This story is going to piss you right off. I got this story from Sean Faze. And just absolutely staggering. All right, so let me get through this here, and I'll read what Sean Faze wrote me as well. You don't need a degree in graphic design to notice the similarities here. What they did was they took Minor Threat, an album, and Nike ripped off a punk album and changed it to Major Threat. If you go to the link check it out. There's like, it's a total ripoff. They ripped off the entire fucking album. It's brutal. I mean, this isn't like sort of kind of ripping it off. They're totally ripping it off. They're the fucking same. Oh, wait. One is blue and not red. One says major and not minor, but okay. There's some, and there are some Nike logos tossed in there. But it sort of brings to mind an interview which Vanilla Ice attempted to defend the difference between Ice Ice Baby and Under Pressure. You know what I mean? Which is why he lost in court and Queen sued the shit out of him. Come on, Nike, your swoosh is one of the most iconic brand images in the world. Perhaps a tiny notch behold the Golden Arches and maybe Coca-Cola. We understand that trading on the image of a legitimately punk rock anti-corporate institution will lend some desperately needed credibility to your marketing campaign for the hearts of adolescent skate kids. But doesn't knowing full well that the institution, in this case the venerable Discord Records, would never grant you permission for the use of that image and just steamrolling the fuck over them anyway because your lawyers can beat up their lawyers, negate the very ideals from which you're attempting to equate yourselves. I mean, there's unethical, and then there's just flat-out mercenary, and then there's fucking evil, which is where these guys are at. Just to make sure Discord hadn't gone truly back on everything they've ever stood for, we asked a representative from the label if Nike had asked to borrow the image, and they said the following. This is from Discord Records, who's had their image ripped off from a punk album, which stands for everything they hate. This is the equivalency of McDonald's using Adbusters in one of their ads. Could you fucking imagine? They said the following. This is what Discord Records said. No, they stole it, and we're not happy about it. Nike is a giant corporation which is attempting to manipulate the alternative skate culture to create an even wider demand for their already ubiquitous brand. Nike represents just about the antithesis of what Discord stands for, and it makes me sick to my stomach that they think they're using this explicit imagery to fool kids into thinking that general ethos of the label, and Minor Threat in particular, can somehow be linked to Nike's mission. It's disgusting. Though the label is not sure what action they're planning to take, they're definitely not happy with Nike's choice. We will keep you updated as we learn more about the situation. Now, this got sent to me from Sean Faze, and Sean Faze wrote the following stuff in his letter to me. Please report on this so maybe we can stop people from going to this event, because it talks about an event they're trying to set up with Nike and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely don't go to the event. And point this out as an example. It's almost as if they're saying punk rock music fits into our core political ideology, and if you don't sell yourself out, you can automatically be bought anywhere down the line for absolutely nothing. If you're a big band with bad enough fish, to me, this is terrorism on a punk rock, and I will be telling people not to go to this Major Threat festival. Fuck that. I will not buy another pair of Chucks ever again. Converse is owned by Nike, and we know what Nike's about. I didn't know Converse was even owned by Nike. You know what? Fuck them. I got links for, fair trade shoes. There's all sorts of stuff on the Newsreel show. Fuck Nike, man. We don't need to worry about this. And the fact that they actually went and ripped off an album cover from Minor Threat. I mean, holy shit. Talk about thumbing your nose at the world. Now, that said, people say, Sean, I thought you didn't believe in intellectual property. That's right, I don't. But if it's good for Goose, it's good for a gander. Okay, if Nike does this and is determined, well, okay, it's all intellectual property rights, it's not a big deal. You know, okay, I guess all images are open and fair ball. I'm fair with that. I'm okay with that. Sure, Nike, you could use that image provided I can copy and use anything I want. Good for Goose, good for Gander, baby. You want to do that? Fair ball. Fair ball. I say go give her shit. Then that way, Minor Threat gets the credit for being the band that made it so that everything became open source and there was no more intellectual property rights, which I'm sure they'd be cool with. Because that way we could probably get some actual progress and some innovation happening in our culture, but that's just me. Now, Dead Code sent in some censorship news, which is just a little bit disturbing to me, and is a little bit more disturbing because of the trend of groups like Focused on the Family and the radical Christian right. Now, Dead Code sent in this in censorship news. All pornography in the U.S., is now effectively classified as child pornography unless providers can prove the ages of everyone taking part. Wow, what a massive blow to the industry. The law, which requires porn producers to hold copies of all actors' photos ID for 7 years, has been in place for some time. But as of 23rd of June, the rule was extended to cover online pornography as well. This includes online forums, adult personal sites, and many other places where adult material may be published. So if you've got anything adult online, you have to have everyone's ID present at the same time. In response, A number of sites have voluntarily taken themselves offline to avoid breaking the newly applied rules. According to Boing Boing, Rotten.com has taken down RateMyBoner.com and GapingMaw.com, which contained the occasional explicit image, although it was not a porn site as such. No, it was not a porn site as such, but there was some really nasty, nasty stuff on there. But that said, just not my cup of tea. That doesn't mean it should be illegal. In a statement on the site, GapingMaw.com's administrators called the law a side-handed attack on the pornography industry and said it would be impossible for it to meet the requirements or the regulations. So, you know, they're making a side attack on porn. And, of course, the porn industry. Now, the one thing I would like to see is maybe it'll be the porn industry that comes to the rescue of the counterculture. Because if the porn industry, now they have money. So if the people in the porn industry decide they're going to fight, well, we would actually get some really good funding then, wouldn't we? While the law is designed to protect minors, must protect the children and prevent exploitation, some free speech campaigners argue that the laws gives authorities an awful lot of power to close down sites they don't approve of, even if that was not the original goal. They point out that the Patriot Act was used to prosecute people for offenses that were not terrorist offenses shortly after it became law. Well, of course, because the Patriot Act is, of course, the George Orwell Act, which has fucked over the entire nation. The Free Speech Coalition is already preparing a legal challenge to the law. So fear not, the Free Speech Coalition is preparing a legal challenge. And it says it has already won some concessions from the government. So that's also cool. Meanwhile, others still warn that the law could leave some performers, such as women operating webcam shows from their homes, open to stalking and harassment because the law requires that they publish their physical address online. If you can imagine that. Actually publishing your physical address online. What a scary concept. What a scary concept that you have to, you know, like, give me a break, okay? Porn is porn. It's out there. It's floating around. It's been around forever. If you try to crush it, it's only going to be, you know, go more underground. All right? Now, there's people out there who make their living at porn. I'm not one of them. Of course, it depends on who you talk to. There's lots of people who call my show pornography because I say the word fuck. But personally, I mean, I think it's a lot more obscene, not to get too Colonel Kurtz on you here, but I think it's a lot more obscene to send a bunch of children to die in a desert war for core political interests for oil than it is to say fuck when you talk about it. That's just me, though. You know, maybe I'm way out of line. But it seems to me that I'm not the obscene one running the show right now. It's these radical Christian types who decide that, no, we're going to force our morality on fucking everybody. Now, last time I checked, I have never, ever, ever gotten even so much as a piece of spam from Rotten.com. I've never even heard of GapingMaw.com. This kind of shit you don't find unless you go looking for it. Yes, there are some sites that blanket everybody and try to drive up sales. Yes, that happens. But that's not the industry's fault. That's the individual's fault. Not everybody who runs porn knows it's porn. Porn stars are actually very nice people. Porn stars are not out there trying to manipulate kids or hurt people. It's fucking gross. I don't know what the hell you're thinking. And nobody has a clearer picture of what porn is than the people who are in the industry. So for them to make this kind of attack is just sick and weird as far as I'm concerned. Now on to cloning news. Now this got sent to me from Malcav, and it's yet another one of those little things that you look at and go, hey, maybe I might just, you know, start cutting back on the red meat, because this, of course, isn't getting much airplay either. A U.S. biotech company says it's expecting, a U.S. biotech company says it expects the Food and Drug Administration to soon approve the industry's request to market meat and milk products from cloned cattle and other animals. The FDA, in October of 2003, declared food from cloned animals and their offspring was safe as conventional food. Now, did you know that in October of 2003, that the FDA said you could sell cloned meat and it's not a problem? I did not know that. But an FDA panel urged more research be conducted on the new technology, delaying a final decision for more than a year. Scott Davis, president of Texas-based Start Licensing and co-founder of Biogen Incorporated, said scientific data supported the FDA finding that the food did not pose a risk to the consumer. Of course, bear in mind, this guy here is, you know, totally got a conflict of interest, and he's not even close to being, you know, unbiased. Start Licensing owns the genetic information from Dolly the sheep, the world's first cloned mammal. Vigen is working on cloned cattle, pigs, horses, trees, tramp, antimatter, and my Uncle Heshy. I would assume it's going to be coming out soon. There has been no change in the direction of the FDA's thinking, Davis said. The FDA declined to say when its risk assessment would be completed, because they don't want to tell anyone when it's completed, because that way everyone will jump up and down and say, no, we don't want to eat clone meat, thank you very much. It's very premature to make any indication as to what the findings will be, as the risk of assessment is still ongoing, said spokeswoman Susan Trevino. The nascent industry has voluntarily agreed to not the nascent industry has volunteered has voluntarily agreed not to sell any products from cloned animals until the FDA completes its review. After the FDA publishes its risk assessment, the agency said it would take at least another 2 months before it made a final decision. So, just to backtrack here, we're not actually selling cloned meat now, but it seems that we're very, very close to getting cloned meat on the market. Now, you got to... Okay, let me finish this. Davis said further delays could devastate the industry. No, it won't. It'll just mean that people growing regular cows will have more of a market, which is still 4 to 5 years away from selling cloned animal food. There is currently about 300 cloned animals in the United States. There were a number of companies that were in this business, and now we are only two or three left. Well, that's great. We are only two or three left. Meaning the cloning? If the decision isn't forthcoming, this is going to put people in a very difficult financial situation. Well, I'm sorry that you're not going to make any money selling cloned meat, but I think safety is a little bit more paramount. Consumer advocates have urged the government to consider the moral and ethical concerns of cloned animals when making its decision. Now, why in the world would they want to clone meat? You got to ask yourself this question. Why would they want to clone meat when it's very, very cheap and very effective to just grow meat normally? What possible reason could they have for doing that? Well, what they'll do is they'll come up with a particular strain. There'll be certain cows which grow at a certain speed. There'll be certain cows which are able to put on meat faster. There's certain cows that mature quicker. So what they'll do is rather than breeding the cow to create, you know, the strain of cows that is naturally formed, what they'll do is they'll just genetically cross and recombine until they get a cow that in like 6 months is full size, totally marbled, and they'll just take it, grow it, vat grow it, and slaughter it, and off it goes from there. Now the thing is, if you could clone meat and it was healthy, and you didn't have to create a cow, meaning that if you just could, you know, like make a headless body of a cow that you'd harvest for meat, I would be probably behind that, provided we had enough research done. But if there was nothing unhealthy about that, I would sooner see that than the feedlots. You see, you can't let emotion get too out of control on stuff like this. You have to actually hold on to it. That's the funny thing about emotion in these protesters, you know? I eat meat. I try not to eat meat. I like to eat low meat. I'd like to eat a vegetarian diet, but I've just got a real problem trying to do that for some reason. I go for a while, and all of a sudden, I get these crazy cravings where I have to have meat. And there's a lot of people out there, and there's a lot of different theories on why that is. Some people say it's because I'm blood type O, meaning that I'm the original blood type, apparently, and, you know, we're the hunter-gatherers of the universe. Other people claim that, you know, well, I just feel weak all the time if I don't eat meat. Well, there could be that to it, too. I don't know. Everybody's different. Some people can not eat meat, you know, and live their lives very happy, be very healthy. Lots of athletes do it. I'm not one of them for some reason. I don't know why. I just get this craving. I can go for like a week, 5-6 days, and then I get this wicked craving. You know, you wake up, you're covered in blood, there's a bunch of dead cows everywhere. It's fucking horrible. But I would sooner see clone meat being vat grown in tanks than I would see having these feedlots where you have sentient creatures suffering. Maybe I'm just getting all Buddhist here, but that's my take. On to the daily hack. How to pick combination locks. This was sent to me by Omega Draconis. This page has become quite popular, receiving almost 5,000 hits per day. It has been linked from a blog from MSPC as well as Hackaday.com. Please don't use this to break in anything other than your own stuff. I hope it will take too long to do that. Anyway, without further ado, here it is. And this is all about how to break into any combination lock or combination master lock, as what he says, which I think it's pretty handy to know how to do, because I don't know how many times I've had to cut locks off because I forgot the goddamn combination. And it beats my trick of just trying to do a scratched code on the back of the lock with a pin or something so that only I can read it, and hopefully no one else will figure out that's what I've done. But now that I've said that, looks like I'm screwed. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in a time of crisis. And they are Alan, Forleet, Druid Weissimaru, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Weblife, Philip, Paradin, Robert, Jesse, Andrew, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noog, Derek, Joseph, Jesse, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Brandon, Jason, Matthew, Mainframe, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Matt, Evan, Austin, David, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Charles, Philip, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Host Mojo, Matt, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, and Brandon. Thank you so much. And the new subscribers this month were Ed, Jennifer, Palmer, Art, Kevin, Michael, Dennis, Jesse, Matthew, and Jason. Thank you very much. You guys rock and roll. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. And thanks to everyone in your assistance in gathering media. If you have access to sensitive information or anything pertinent stories, remember that little trick where scanning it and sending it in. If it's really, really sensitive, you could do that, in case you're wondering, because last time I checked, we own our own mail servers and we don't report to shit. So we are pretty good that way. So if you're really concerned and you've got some stories you want to send to me, you could always write them down, scan it, send it to me as a GIF image, as an email attachment. That is something you could do. But email all of that to newsreel@rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, check out this album. I may have covered this album before, but I just gave it another listen the other day, and this is a really fantastic album by a group called Interlace, and the album is called Under the Sky. It's a fantastic album. These guys got a great sound, and I'm going to leave you with the title track from that album called Under the Sky. It's the dance mix version. It's the first track on the album. Very, very cool. Check these guys out. They're going to be huge. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.